OTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 16th of August. We're halfway through the month. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
I'm good. I'm
okay.
Yeah, I'm good. What about you?
Good is good.
Yeah.
Good. Before we get into anything, though, I think we need to tell our listeners what happened last Friday.
Something happened? Did I miss something?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. It was a fun weekend with it, wasn't it?
Oh, man. You know, last Friday in the morning, when I rebooted my computer, I got one of those Windows updates. Okay? I download updates whenever they come through. And so I downloaded that one. I didn't think anything of it. Then Diane and I get ready to go on the air. We usually connect about 20 minutes ahead of airtime, and nothing was working. The broadcaster unit that we used was all locked up. Nothing was happening.
Right.
There was no way we could connect to the air. We tried and tried and tried till it was about 10 minutes after airtime. We said, you know what? This is beyond our pay grade.
Way beyond our pay grade.
You know, so we had to shut it down. I was gone all day Saturday, so we couldn't do anything on Saturday as far as getting it fixed or recording a podcast or anything
and
like
so
that.
And so was I.
Yeah, you were gone all day. And so Sunday afternoon, our IT specialist connected with us and got the whole thing straightened out, and it's been okay, but I got to tell you, I had to hold my breath yesterday because I reboot my computer every morning. I rebooted. It didn't say anything about an update, and yet I got an update.
Oh, dear.
And I thought, oh, my God, if this screws this thing up again, but no. Everything's fine. So that's what happened to us last Friday. We had every intention of being on the air, talking about the whole Mar-a-Lago, Trump, FBI, DOJ situation last Friday, and we couldn't even get on the air.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, what the update actually did was it turned off the Sam's broadcaster. It actually just shut it down.
Yeah. And, you know, if you ever see the inside of this thing, unless you are eminently familiar with the Sam's broadcaster and how that whole thing works, looking at the inside of it is looking at, like, it's kind of like looking at the inside of a SpaceX rocket.
Well, it's also a pain in the you-know-what, because while Craig and I thought we might be able to handle it, we went into the Sam's broadcaster guidebook, if you will, and all we did was look at one page. But for some reason, it downloaded the entire manual into my computer. And it took literally all day to clear it because I couldn't get into Task Manager to clear the thing immediately. It didn't do what it did to Craig's computer, but it just loaded mine with garbage. And literally about 8-9 hours until it finally cleared.
Now, let's be clear about something here, because I get a hold of her on Sunday, and Diane immediately starts in on me. Your problem screwed up my computer. I'm like, how could that possibly be? She was blaming me. Now, I never told her to download the manual. I never told her to go look at that.
I never wanted to download the manual. As soon as we opened it up, I guess it must be programmed.
Who is this we? You opened it up.
No. We both went to that link. And as soon as I went to the link, I didn't even know because Craig and I continued our conversation. But the next day when I went to get on my computer, nothing worked. I got my screen up.
That was it.
I could move the cursors around all over the place, but it wouldn't allow me to type in Task Manager.
Nothing.
I knew something was running in the background because this has happened before and I know how to fix it. However, I didn't know it downloaded an entire manual.
Right, the entire manual for a starship.
Yeah, basically. Apparently.
You know.
Might as well be.
But the good news is we got it all fixed. We're on the air tonight, and we got a show for you. Now, a little bit later tonight, I'm talking about the FBI and DOJ, a crisis of credibility. Obviously, that's got to do with the whole Mar-a-Lago Trump situation. Diane, you're covering tonight the U.S. v. China, an unlikely scenario. Now, folks, you might be wondering why we're not going full bore on both segments of tonight's show on the Mar-a-Lago situation. Well, I'm going to kind of get you up to speed as to what's going on right now. Diane is looking further down the road. Next week, you're covering Mar-a-Lago.
Exactly. In detail, and I've got a hold of a couple of things that are not really out there yet, and I'm really going to let loose on these Democrats.
Somebody needs to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, for the rest of this segment, we've got some quick hitters that we need to cover, and we'll begin with Liz Cheney. She is set to lose big and lose big tonight. In the state of Wyoming, they're having their primary election tonight, and she has a challenger. My guess, my prediction, now we won't get results before we get off the air. Right. The results come in at 7 o'clock Wyoming time. That's 9 o'clock New York time. We'll be off the air before the polls close. But my prediction for tonight is Liz Cheney loses by between 18 and 22 points.
You know what? The way I look at it, if she lost by 1 point, it's good enough. She lost. Because remember, we still can never trust the voting machines anymore. And that's a very sorry commentary for this country. We cannot trust the voting machines.
Right.
However, I agree with you. She's going to lose. She's going to get, her butt wiped here. However, Liz Cheney is already considering one of two things, either starting a PAC or some kind of organization to specifically target President Trump, or she's even considering running for president herself.
She's not going to get anywhere running for president. Nowhere.
Well, she'll get the loons, which means there's a certain thing in this meaning here. Many people thought Cheney would automatically become a Democrat, but if she's going to try to run against Trump for the nomination, she's going to stay a Republican, meaning basically a rhino. She's the kind of person, she's not going to go away. She's one of those things like a thorn in your side. She's not going to go away.
Well, now think about this. Will she run as a rhino against Trump, or will she switch parties and run as a Democrat against Trump? She knows if Trump announces, and I think he will, that that he's running, the nomination is his. However, she also knows that the Democrats have no second string. They have nobody to take over for Biden.
Well, she's not the right one to take over for Biden. I have a feeling who might try, now that he's shown his true colors, is Manchin.
I don't know that that's... I don't know. It's a guessing game right now. Well, that picture will clear up more after the midterms this November.
Yeah, I also have another possibility who might consider running and running strictly as trying to bring the Democrat Party back to the party of JFK is Tulsi Gabbard.
You know, I have thought that Tulsi Gabbard sounds more and more like a Republican every day. In fact, one of the nights last week, she was filling in for Tucker on Fox.
Yes, and I saw it, and she did a terrific job. She is really more in line with Republicans as far as military, right. the economy, half and half, but she is more fiscally, you know, conservative. She's not bad. She really isn't.
I agree with you. You know, I mean, she's very interesting. She would be an interesting choice. Now, she ran for the Democrat nomination in 2020, and she didn't really get very far. It's going to be interesting.
Then, too.
Yeah,
she
was unknown. It's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens. Now, with the primary election in the state of Wyoming tonight, Diane, you got word that there are some Democrats that are going to go vote Republican because it's kind of an open primary.
Yeah, they're a partisan state. You can go anywhere you want. It's called an open partisan state with partisan registration. So meaning anyone can go in. If you're a Republican, you can vote Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you can vote Republican, which basically you can do any election, but not during a primary. In a primary, you can only vote for your own party, except Wyoming allows you to switch registrations. So she's counting on Democrats having switched parties so they can vote for her against who the Republican is. However, she would need something along the lines of 40,000 Democrats and independents to cross over. And think that state at the last midterm primary only had 115,000 votes, that's pretty unlikely.
I think you're going to see a bigger voter turnout tonight than you did in the last midterm. But let me give you the numbers real quick before we move to a different quick hitter.
Okay.
In Wyoming, there are 200,579 registered Republican voters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 200,579. Democrat voters, 43,285.
That's a great state.
And I guarantee you, probably 40 of those 43,000, you know, 40,000 of those 43,000 probably live in Jackson Hole.
I would assume so. I would pretty much think you're right about that. But the thing is, her dad made a complete fool of himself with his commercial.
That's horrible.
You know, he was a good vice president. He kind of ruined all his credibility. But again, he kind of sounded like a doddering old man. I don't know how old Dick Cheney is now, but I assume he's getting up there in years, and maybe he's lost a few of his marbles.
It seems like it. If you've seen that commercial, it's terrible. It's a terrible
very
spot.
Bad. Very bad.
we're going to keep an eye on this. Obviously, we'll be talking about Liz Cheney and how bad she got creamed coming up on the Friday show. But I'm guessing anywhere, my prediction is anywhere from 18 to 22 point loss for Liz Cheney tonight.
I hope you're right. Maybe it'll be as much as 25-30%. Remember, the person that's running against her is being supported by President Trump.
Right. So, also, we're looking at the 1 year, it's hard to believe it's been a full year, 1 year anniversary since Biden surrendered to the Taliban in Afghanistan, and there is just one question that needs to be asked. Where is the freaking accountability?
There absolutely, because Biden is president, you know, gag me with that, but because he is, there is no accountability. There absolutely is none. The Taliban have taken over the country. The United States has lost.
Now Biden's going
to
try.
There's no other way to put it.
I agree, but Biden's going to try to hang his hat on the commander of the Al-Qaeda that he killed in Afghanistan about a week and a half ago, a couple of weeks ago. You know, that's that he's going to say, well, see, you know, we're taking care of business in Afghanistan. No, you're not. No, you're not. You left Americans there to die. You left our allies there to die. You botched the pullout. You handed Bagram Air Force Base over to the Taliban. You said, and your administration said, in the days leading up to our surrender, they call it a withdrawal. I call it a surrender. In the days leading up to that, they said, oh, no, the Taliban's not going to take over Afghanistan. They took over Afghanistan before we got the last plane out.
They even dictated the timeline. But what's more upsetting about this, remember all the equipment they left behind? Well, that equipment is now being used to kill Afghanistani people.
Our allies.
The people that we helped to liberate now are being killed by our own equipment. If that's not something that needs accountability for, I don't know what is.
Agreed. 100%. That's, I mean, it's hard to believe it's been a full year. I mean, it just seems, it seems so fresh in my mind. Everything that went down, and it just, like, wow, it's been a year.
Well, you know what's kind of sad about that as well? One of the soldiers, one soldier, let's say, out of the 13 was killed in Afghanistan, and the family had two sons. Well, on the anniversary of the pullout, the son who was not in Afghanistan took his own life.
That is so sad.
Isn't it?
Just compounds the tragedy.
For that family and for America, yes, it does. Biden made a fool of us because he followed Obama's policies of leading from behind, catering to the enemy. This is a disgrace. It's not even accountability anymore, Craig. Biden needs to be tried for aiding and abetting the enemy. When one piece of our equipment killed one Afghani by the enemy, that's aiding and abetting the enemy.
You're right. There's really no other way to look at it.
No.
And that's
treason, folks.
It's a disgusting situation. Biden literally and his administration, even his top generals that were involved in that, they all washed their hands of it the next morning.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Look, it made our military come home with their tails between their legs. The greatest fighting force on earth was beaten because of a weak president by a ragtag group of extremists.
Right.
It's just a sad situation all the way around.
Yep, all the way around. Guess who's got COVID?
Quadruple vaxxed Jill Biden. And she has symptoms, folks.
Now, they're saying they're mild symptoms. Right.
You mean like Joe's? Uncle Joe's were mild?
Well, I guess. I don't know. You know, I mean, who can tell with them? We have no idea what the story really is, but,
true.
You know, she tested positive. Dr. Jill tested positive. If this goes like Joe's did, in a few days, she'll test negative, and then a few days later, she'll test positive again. What are the chances, do you think, in your mind, that Joe gets it again from her?
I think it's pretty strong, because the more of the vaccine you take, we're now finding out it alters your DNA each time you get vaxxed. I know people don't want to believe that, but it's true. And your DNA, especially your T cells, for a healthy immune system to fight off these things, you need a certain amount of T cells. And when you start fooling around with that, which when you do something that alters DNA, you're in for some dire consequences here. More people who have been vaxxed and boosted are getting COVID than people that either had COVID or never had COVID.
Bizarre, but it's true.
It is true.
Now, have you seen, Diane, have you seen that picture of Jill Biden in that blue dress that looks like it's made of crepe paper?
Oh, God, yes.
I posted that up on my Facebook wall, and I said on it, personally, I don't think having COVID is her biggest issue.
No, Jill Biden is probably the worst. No, Michelle Obama was the worst dressed ever. Jill Biden is probably number two.
Oh, that photo is just awful.
And coming off of Melania, who was like model perfect and elegant and classy, and then you get this trash again.
Well, it looks like she shopped off the rack at Goodwill.
Yeah.
In this dress. It's just, oh, yeah. God, it's just awful. You know, now look, obviously we don't wish ill upon anybody. We don't wish ill upon the Bidens. We hope Dr. Jill gets better and this doesn't become a worse situation than it is. But the fact that she's quadruple vaxxed and still got it.
And by the way, she's not a medical doctor, folks.
No, no. But, you know, she's got the vaccine, the booster, and the booster.
Yeah. Yeah. And now she's on Paxlovid. And she's going to quarantine for at least 5 days.
At least.
And everybody that's come in contact with her has been notified and has to be tested.
Ew.
I know. I know. Just, oof.
Good Please. Lord.
It's well, like we went from Michelle, we got better with Melania, and now we're back.
I know.
Basically trash again.
I know. Well, you know, there you go. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. I don't know how you pronounce that name.
Your guess is as good as mine.
he's the director of the WHO, the World Health Organization, otherwise known as WHO.
Yeah.
He just got another term heading up that crap hole organization.
Yes. Now, but listen, this is really funny. It's not funny. It's pathetic and it's bordering on criminal. He was the one that when Taiwan tried to warn about COVID, he was the one, and being spread human to human, I should say, he pushed aside Taiwan's warning on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party. And because of this, basically a preventable pandemic ran havoc across the whole world.
He knew better. He knew what the Taiwanese were telling us was true.
Yes.
But oh no, you can't say that. You know, you don't want to upset the Chinese. You don't want to point your finger in their direction. Oh my goodness. And of course, because of what he did in that regard, a lot of social media followed suit. And if you dared say that it was being spread person to person, or that it came from China, you were deplatformed.
Yes. I would like to know how much money he got for this.
I'll bet you if you're able to follow the money, you'd find a stack of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what was funny is during the time, well, it's not funny, it's pathetic, but during his time as health minister of Ethiopia, he covered up a cholera outbreak, which turned into an epidemic. So this pandemic, I should say. So this guy has a history of this, and yet who votes for him again? That shows you just how corrupt WHO is.
Well, and why you should not trust them.
I don't trust them. I never did.
You know, I mean, you would think the World Health Organization, if they're going to tell you something, you know, you would think that you would be able to have a little trust in them. But no, this emphasizes the point. No.
No. I have zero trust in anything coming out of the UN. Because remember, the UN is fed by globalists. It's really a globalist one world organization. It's no longer the United Nations that it was intended to be.
Well, and you know, what is it that you call it? The UN.
Useless nations.
Useless nations. I call them the United Nations of dictators, despots, and thieves.
Yeah, both definitions are interchangeable.
You know, and you're right. You can't trust anything that comes out of that organ. That is obviously, if you look at it down through the years, that is the most useless organization on the planet.
And it's probably one of the most corrupt as well.
It's got to be. And yet we keep feeding them money. We keep feeding them money.
Well, when Trump gets reelected or another Republican, as in Ron DeSantis, the UN will be cut off to a great degree, I'm assuming.
I hope so, and I hope we make them pay their parking tickets while we're at it.
How about just paying us back?
I'd say kick them out. I'd say kick them right out of the U.S.
Definitely, and I think we should leave them.
At the same time.
I even wrote an article a number of years ago about not only getting them out of the U.S., but getting us out of the U.N.
Both should happen.
Yeah, they're useless.
100%.
I can't think right now of one good thing that they have done.
No, I can't put my finger on it, if there is.
You know, you used to think the UNICEF was decent, but then, you know, articles start coming out about the graft and the payoffs involved in UNICEF.
Well, and the amount of money that goes to administrate, quote, use your air quotes, administrative functions.
Right. Instead of the children who need it, it's the children's organization. And instead of helping them, it goes to administration. This is corruption.
100%. Folks, yes. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Coming up in about, a little bit over a half an hour, we're going to get into the whole thing with Trump and Mar-a-Lago, the FBI, the DOJ. I'll be talking about the FBI and DOJ, a crisis of credibility. But when we come back from this short break and a couple of station IDs, Diane's talking about the U.S. v. China, an unlikely scenario. So stay with us. There's plenty to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, and if you miss any part of it, all you have to do is go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and listen to your heart's content.
Yes.
All right, Diane, so with all the stuff about Mar-a-Lago, the raid on Trump's home there, and all that, a lot of things are getting shoved to the back of the stack when it comes to the 24/7 news cycle. And one of those things that we haven't heard a lot about in a week, okay, because it's been a week since that whole thing went down at Mar-a-Lago, is the situation with China. And you've been looking into this to kind of keep it on the front burner, keep it in the forefront, if you will. So you've put together an op-ed, The U.S. v. China, an Unlikely Scenario.
Yes, and let me start by saying Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan knowing well the political problems her trip would cause. What would China considering Taiwan but a breakaway province that needs to be brought back into the Chinese fold? And this is no matter that the Taiwanese people consider themselves to be a self-ruled nation and not part of China proper. Whether Taiwan is officially recognized as an independent country or not. And with Biden's recent reaffirming that the U.S. would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion, the stage was set for China to raise the tensions up a notch by conducting military drills that surrounded the island in a show of strength that some consider to be an actual prelude to war. And musings of possible war between China and Taiwan are being spoken of in hushed tones on both sides of our political aisle as Biden tries to pretend being a commander-in-chief, what with the recent drone takedown of al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. But pretending is usually a game played by those with truths that must be kept hidden. And the truth where Biden and his fellow Democrats are concerned is that the timing of al-Zawahiri's demise did succeed, for a while at least, in taking our minds off deliberately destroying our economy. And their destroying our economy has quite literally become the Democrats' payback tool of choice to help them save face come their November shellacking, with a possible war with China being but an added distraction used to their advantage. And while history has shown that war itself, whether just or not, does spur on a nation's economy, as war is the epitome of big business, a manufacturing windfall and a jobs creator on par with little else, history, Craig, also shows that the best time to initiate a war is when your opponent's leadership shows weakness across the board.
You know, we talked about it a little bit in the quick hitters a little bit earlier in the show. We talked about Afghanistan and the botched withdrawal, the surrender, I call it. Does that play into this scenario in any way?
Absolutely. Because here entered Joe Biden's Afghanistan exit fiasco, which emboldened that Vladimir Putin to invade Ukraine, and where Biden's promises made to President Zelensky concerning U.S. equipment helping to fight this unjust war remains undelivered to some degree. Biden's now, fingers crossed behind his back, may promise to Taiwan that a Chinese invasion of their country, quote, will not happen and will not be attempted, end quote, so saw the caveat being if the world could convince Beijing of the potential long-term disprobation coupled, whatever that really means, coupled with long-term ramifications should China dare to do so. And both are the direct result of Biden's weakness having now helped to set the stage for China's current muscle flexing as the once thought to be status quo, as in the unofficial U.S. and our allies agreed upon balance of forces regarding Taiwan, now shows outward signs of crumbling. After all, America under Biden's stewardship can no longer be trusted to back up words said nor promises made. And while China's leader Xi Jinping and his People's Liberation Army, coupled with the internally driven political dynamics of the Chinese Communist Party, favor national security priorities and the saving of face, the enforcement of China's sovereignty becomes paramount above all else. And with China physically and militarily outnumbering the forces of Taiwan, Xi's ultimate goal of conquest has now been emboldened by China's recently ended military drills. I'll have a little more on that in a bit, folks. But more importantly, we now find that China's military strengths overpower those of the U.S. in a number of key areas, which could, if Biden were to keep his promise of coming to Taiwan's aid, if China were to invade, actually becomes even more unbalanced in red China's favor. And while Biden's words spoken are words that carry no true legal weight, as Biden has now twisted for his own personal political gain, the meaning of the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979, the very act that allows an American president to sell defensive weapons and arms to Taiwan, minus the promise of us sending boots on the ground to the breakaway would-be island nation. And this allows a simple non-binding agreement on paper, coupled with ongoing bipartisanship, congressional support for increasing arms sales to Taiwan, to ramp up both the tensions and the voices of war. And with Taiwan's intelligence chief, Chen Minglong, still seeing any conflict between the two countries not likely to happen before 2024, I believe that to be but a hoped-for, fingers-crossed guess, especially with Christina Chen, an assistant research fellow at Taiwan's top military think tank, stating just the opposite, as she sees the, quote, likelihood of a military conflict in the Taiwan Strait in the near term getting high, end quote. And sadly, Craig, I must agree with Ms. Chen that the probability of such an event occurring currently does outweigh the possibility of it not occurring, but it's not for the reasons most think. How so? I say a conflict between China and Taiwan will not only be over quite quickly, what with China holding the military trump card, but with the fact that Biden will in the end give but lip service to Taiwan in the same vein he has given it to Ukraine. Promises made, not kept. Promises that should never have been made in the first place.
Well, you know, Joe Biden keeps, you know, shooting off his mouth about Taiwan. He keeps, you know, trying to make people believe that he's in control of the situation. You call it lip service. Is there anything more to that? I mean, does he have an actual reason for yammering on the way he does about Taiwan?
well, let's put it this way, simply and to the point, Joe Biden will continue to use Taiwan as but a mere diversion, with Taiwan ultimately becoming the much-needed sacrificial lamb that helps take the collective mind of America off of our failing economy, as well as our failing presence on the world stage. But even worse, I think, is that Biden will play a dangerous game by throwing the proverbial ball in China's court to see just how far they will go regarding Taiwan. As in, will there be a complete military absorption of Taiwan back into the Chinese fold? Or will the ultimate takeover be political in name only, not unlike that of Hong Kong? While neither scenario is good for Taiwan, the latter might be more and actually make more sense for China, as it would allow much-needed trade between our two nations to continue on, while still allowing China their coveted Taiwan prize. And not to be forgotten, whether we like it or not, is the fact that China v. Taiwan is in reality China's own civil war that they alone must fight, for unlike Ukraine, which is a sovereign nation, Taiwan, unfortunately, is not. However, for China to go into Taiwan militarily, to physically destroy the breakaway island province like Putin has tried to do to Ukraine, I believe is not an option China really wants to do, no matter its decades-long military threats. For to do so would surely sever what economic ties we have left with China, which could include our cutting off of all modes of trade. Remember, China's economy is basically financed by trade with the U.S. We are its biggest customer, if you will, something Xi knows well. And for Xi to lose American dollars would send China's economy into a tailspin from which they might never recover, never mind that cheaply made Chinese goods already overflood the U.S. market. Bite the hand that feeds your nation's coffers might, Craig, just be the incentive enough to keep China's takeover of Taiwan more like the aforementioned political takeover of Hong Kong, which would still garner China a publicity victory of sorts and would leave Joe Biden with egg on his face.
So it's kind of a high-stakes game of chess, and it really comes down to who makes the slyest moves. So in your mind, in your opinion, Diane, where do you see this leading? How do you see this playing out?
All right. Simply, China would win Taiwan courtesy of military muscle flex minus tangible battles fought, with little Taiwanese blood being shed, while the U.S. again losing, like we lost in Afghanistan, in that we would have played Taiwan like we continue to play Ukraine, with leading from behind diplomacy again being the order of the day. So while a war between China and the U.S. over Taiwan might remain on the table for some, it's thankfully, I believe, not a likely scenario, at least not in the near future, for there is something that many forget, as in China's mutual defense treaty with North Korea, along with its strong friendship and both national security and economic ties with Putin's Russia. Translation, a U.S. war with China could well morph, into a world war with both Russia and North Korea as well, something that would not end well for all parties concerned. And that's never mind the possible nuclear option, which in today's heated political climate remains always on the table. Nor is the fact that even if a stalemate of sorts were to be reached between us and China over Taiwan, we could find ourselves becoming Taiwan's permanent and very expensive sole means of defense. And we all know how well that has worked out in the past. Can you say Iraq and Afghanistan? And besides, if China were to actually attack Taiwan, they most likely would do so via a surprise attack, meaning we would not be militarily ready for war, let alone be able to come to Taiwan's immediate defense. For remember that no matter his words spoken, Joe Biden cannot on his own decide that we will go to war to defend Taiwan. Only our Congress can do that, as written in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the Constitution, which expressly gives that power to Congress alone. And the time factor needed to get a declaration of war would allow China the time to quickly overpower and capture Taiwan, as they have long been prepared for war. Simply, our military is not ready to take on China, nor anyone else for that matter, thanks to the Biden administration's woke neutering of America's fighting forces, a truly sad commentary indeed, a commentary that needs rewriting before it's too late for us all. Case closed.
It's an interesting scenario, and I think you're probably pretty well spot on, to be honest. I mean, it doesn't really make sense for China to militarily enter Taiwan, unless their only show of military force is to get the leadership, the government, if you will, of Taiwan out of the way.
Well, that's what they want to do. They want to get that government out and install their own government, which would basically be what happened in Hong Kong. But right now, Biden and crew added to the troubles, let's say, because there's another delegation of American representatives over in Taiwan, and Taiwan has resumed some military drills.
Yeah. Honestly, though, are Taiwan's military drills for show? I mean, they're not really capable of fighting China.
No, Taiwan isn't. But what's very sad is, listen to this, U.S. v. China military power. Okay. We have 1,281,000 military personnel. Taiwan has 2,693,000. As far as combat forces, China has 6,287. We have 13,050. Okay, we're ahead there. As far as naval assets, they have 415. We have 714. Okay, we're a little up there. Now here, aircraft, 13,398. They have 3,187. Now here, it's interesting, the oil reserves, we have 35,520,000 barrels. They have 25,620,000 barrels. Where the discrepancy comes in is China has more military personnel ready to fight. They have more combat tanks. They have more naval assets. The only thing they don't have is more aircraft. And as far as oil reserves, China is not an oil country.
No, but they can get oil from Russia.
From Russia, but you can't get it there that fast. We, and I think I might have switched the numbers around in the beginning because of the way the chart is, but China outnumbers us with military personnel, which is key. Right. They outnumber us with combat tanks, which is key. And they outnumber us with naval assets, which is key.
You know, there's a couple other countries that stand to lose a lot if this becomes a fighting war, and that's South Korea and Japan. Have we heard anything from either one of those countries with regard to the current situation?
Let's put it this way. They're not happy campers.
Well,
and they're not
think
happy though. They're not happy with the U.S. either, because Biden is doing nothing. He is not equipped to be a wartime or even a pre-wartime president. Yeah. He's doing nothing. Look at Ukraine. As soon as President Zelensky asked for help, we should have been there.
Well, I mean, these countries, South Korea, Japan, they got to be looking at the U.S. like, well, okay, so they turned their back, you know, the U.S. turned their back on the allies in Afghanistan. Why should we expect them to do any different if push comes to shove with us?
Exactly. And we're not going to do anything different. Remember, folks, you always have to remember something. Biden is not calling the shots. Barack Hussein Obama is. We know his policies. Biden is just mimicking them. We are not supposed to win. We are not supposed to be the world's number one superpower. And the sooner people understand that fact, maybe things can turn around for us. But as long as people sort of keep their heads in the sand, nothing's going to change.
Right. Right. Now, you mentioned earlier in this op-ed, which, by the way, the title, The U.S. v. China, An Unlikely Scenario, you mentioned earlier that Beijing may suffer what they call long-term potential disapprobation, right?
Yeah.
Which is basically means global disapproval on moral grounds. Do you think China really cares about moral grounds?
No. People need to understand something. China went to war, and let's say another country went to war with China. China losing, let's say, 1 million people in a war means nothing to a country with billions of people.
Right.
They see their own citizens as sacrifices to be made for the mother country.
Right, exactly.
They're overpopulated. They don't care how many people they lost, as long as they came out on top at the end.
Right. It's a very shaky situation over there right now, and it can only be made worse by Joe Biden's rhetoric and his constant yammering about the situation. He's doing nothing to ease tensions over there. If anything, he's making it worse.
Much, much, much worse. Yeah, he needs to... I mean, I support Taiwan 100%. I support the Taiwanese people 100%. But there is one thing that people forget. Taiwan, the land, actually is part of China. This is a civil war.
Their civil war, not ours.
That's what I was going to say. It's their civil war, not our civil war. In this world where the nuclear threat always hangs over your heads, you got to be very choosy about which wars you're going to get our country involved in.
Well, and you think about it, you know, we've got a supply chain issue in this country right now.
Yes. Okay?
If we go to war against China, that only gets exponentially worse. Okay, but there is a supply chain issue that nobody's talking about. If you look geographically at where Taiwan is compared to where China is,
right?
Okay, everything China needs is right there. If we go to war with China, our supply chain is strung out halfway around the world.
Exactly. Logistically, we don't really stand to win. If we were to go with Taiwan to war with China, the best we should do is do what that treaty allows, give them the aid that they need. But this is one particular war that we really need to keep our boots off the ground. Taiwan is not a sovereign nation. In fact, I just learned from a good friend of mine yesterday, the only country in the world that actually recognizes Taiwan as its own country is South Africa.
Yeah.
That doesn't say a hell of a lot, folks.
You know, like I said, it's a tenuous situation, only being made worse by Joe Biden's rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At this point.
Much worse. We need to keep our focus. I don't care what anyone says. Two things. Our economy, everything, the inflation, the skyrocketing prices, our economy, and Ukraine. That's where our focus has to be right now.
You know, there's a lot of information in this article. Like I said, right before you started in on this segment, you know, I said, this is why you're doing this. This needs to be kept top of mind, but not for the reasons that the 24/7 ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and CNNs want it to be top of mind. You need to know, folks, you need to know the truth of the whole situation. The Biden administration is trying to ratchet up panic. And like Diane says in the op-ed, it's a distraction from his own economic disasters at home.
Right. That's why you got to keep focusing on it, folks, because when you go to the polls, the primaries, I mean, today I went to Publix and I got our week's worth of stuff and I was blown away how simple things increased. Do you know for a package of paper plates, yeah, folks, $7.98?
I know. It's funny you say that because last week I was in town and I stopped and picked up a couple of things, and I mean just a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I think I got two of those plastic grocery bags full of stuff. That's it.
Okay.
My bill came to $57 or $60, but in that bunch of stuff, I got a deal of paper plates because I hate using real plates when all I'm having is like a sandwich.
Right. Right.
You know, why mess up a regular plate? Waste
the water cleaning it.
Right. Why not do the green thing and put something in the landfill?
Right. You lose either way with these loons.
But yeah. I thought, we're out of paper plates. I should get some paper plates. I went down the paper goods aisle. And I looked at the plates, I looked at the price, I went, are you kidding me? It's a freaking paper plate.
I know, especially when a number of weeks ago they were like $3.15.
And they actually grow on trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So literally. You
know, it's absolutely ridiculous. The price of cat and dog food is ridiculous. I mean, staples like lettuce. And okay, we eat a lot of avocados. Avocados, basically, I'd say 3 weeks ago were $2 an avocado. Today they were $3.98.
Okay, well, don't we get most of our avocados from Mexico?
Well, in Florida, we kind of have local avocados. We don't need Mexico for that.
Well, but I'm just saying, wouldn't the avocado price come down if every illegal alien came across the border with a bag of avocados?
Oh, don't even get me started on that illegal stuff. And oh, I have a bone to pick, since you mentioned it very briefly, with Fox News. When you report on the border crisis, Fox News, please don't keep calling it a migrant crisis or the migrants coming. Call them what they are, illegals.
Yep, illegal aliens.
Absolutely.
That's what they are. Folks, you can get Diane's op-ed, the U.S. v. China, an unlikely scenario, two places. You can go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, pick up the link there, or you can go to rspradio1.com, pick up the link there. Either way, get the link, read it over, and share it. The more people know the reality of the situation over there, rather than the rhetoric you hear from the White House and the talking heads on the alphabet news networks, the better. The deeper your understanding of the situation between China, Taiwan, and the U.S. is, you can separate fact from fiction.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just that simple. ThePatriotFactor.blogspot.com or RSPRadio1.com. Get the link either way and share, share, share. With that, we've made it to the top of the hour. That means the end of a segment. Before we get into our next segment, we got to take a quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. Then we're going to be talking about the situation with Trump, Mar-a-Lago, the FBI, the DOJ. I'm talking about the FBI and DOJ, a crisis of credibility. Stay with us. There's lots more to come and more discussion on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sori at The Patriot Factor. Any part of tonight's show you missed will be available to you if you go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click on the podcast button, and become one of our pod people.
Yes.
You don't have to sign up. You don't have to put in any personal. Just click the button.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Take your choice. We'll have a whole bunch of shows there for you, including tonight's.
Yes.
All right, so there was a little kerfluffle over at Mar-a-Lago.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah, a week and a day ago. probably, folks, you've heard nothing about it. You know, but I tell you what, I got so mad late last week. The more I heard, the more I learned, the more I realized what was going on, the more pissed off I got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I decided I had to take it on and put a few things down in a commentary. Diane, you're going to tackle this thing from looking at things that have happened since I wrote this and what more we've learned and what we're looking at going forward with this. You're going to tackle that next week on this show.
Yes.
All right, but for now, the FBI and DOJ, a crisis of credibility. Within days of the FBI raid on President Trump's home in South Florida, Mar-a-Lago, members of the liberal mainstream media, elected liberals, and members of Biden's cabinet began to lash out at Republicans, conservatives, and Trump voters over the latter group's response to said raid. The FBI had invaded and occupied the Trump estate for better than 9 hours a week ago yesterday, August 7th, 2022, in an unprecedented raid. The first thing out of the mouths of liberal mainstream media knotheads was the notion that the raid wasn't a raid. Now that, from the political party that can't even identify what a woman is, doesn't know which bathroom to use, and claims that despite empirical evidence, we are not in a recession. The mainstream media knows full well what a raid is and what a raid looks like, just as they know full well what a riot looks like. But they're unwilling to admit to either when the definition fails to meet their needed narrative. Diane, last Thursday, August 11th, AG Merrick Garland finally came out to the podium and read a statement in front of cameras without taking a single question. He read the statement, and frankly, I've seen lesser displays of nervousness in hostage videos. Garland looked terrified, shaken, and completely unsure of himself. The reading of the statement took roughly 5 minutes and contained nothing of substance, but something of interest to those who were actually paying attention.
Well, what Garland actually sounded like was a bit of channeling his inner Biden. He was very unsure of himself, very unsteady in his speaking. It was almost like he was flubbing a memorized speech that he was told to give.
You know, but he didn't even memorize it. He read it. He read it. He was staring at the teleprompter the whole time. Garland felt the need to defend his own office and the FBI in that statement. And to be clear, he even had to read that part of it. It was telling because it was words from a teleprompter, not words from his heart. Garland also tried to make his office and the FBI out to be the true victims of the raid, saying, and I quote, "Let me address the recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked," unquote. Unfair attacks on the professionalism of the FBI? Really? Unfounded? Really? After what the FBI has done over the past 7 years, particularly where Donald Trump is concerned, it seems to me that the attacks on the professionalism are very well founded. Remember, it was the FBI which helped pay for the Steele dossier. It was the FBI and the DOJ that, while knowing full well that said dossier was completely bogus and manufactured, used that dossier to obtain a FISA warrant and then renew that FISA warrant 3 more times. It was the FBI that wiretapped Trump's office as a candidate, spied on him then and again when he was in the Oval Office. And it was the FBI that leaked material to the mainstream media liberals in an effort to build a false narrative against President Trump. James Comey, Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and others conspired to get at Trump by any means available to them and claimed to have an insurance policy were Trump to be elected. They were all members of the FBI. Rod Rosenstein, the deputy AG in the DOJ, hired Bob Mueller to go after Trump in the impeachment witch hunt, and Mueller was himself a former director of the FBI. Let me put a finer point on this. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were both vehemently anti-Trump, as has been evidenced by the texts they sent back and forth to one another, and it was Strzok who had been working on the Hillary Clinton email espionage case, where she had her own private server and later destroyed 32,000 emails and bleach-bitted that server, but he prioritized a Trump investigation based on what he knew full-on well to be manufactured and bogus, while letting Hillary off the hook. And Diane, both the FBI and the DOJ were fully on board with Peter Strzok's decision.
Yes, they were. And they're on board with another decision involving a father and a son who should really be behind bars right now. So why don't you tell us who that is?
Well, look, more recently, the FBI has been in possession of Hunter Biden's laptop for 2 years. A laptop which, combined with his cell phone, provides indisputable records of actions that broke the law and puts U.S. national security in jeopardy. And not only has neither the FBI nor the DOJ done anything about it, or about Hunter, Joe, and Jim Biden, according to the FBI director, Christopher Wray, they don't even know where that laptop is right now. Right. Now, I would be remiss at this point not to mention the activities of the DOJ in a completely different line of obtuse behavior. The DOJ, the Department of Justice, under the boot of Merrick Garland, has labeled parents who want to play a role in the education of their children by attending school board meetings domestic terrorists, and advocated for investigating them from the highest levels of the current regime. The DOJ, under the boot of Merrick Garland, has also insisted that white supremacy is the number one enemy of national security, even though there is absolutely no evidence that such is even a minor threat. But let's go back a bit further in time, when now AG Merrick Garland was a prosecutor in the Attorney General's office, all the way back to 1996, when, despite a Montana mountain size of evidence, Garland steadfastly refused to recommend to the AG that a search warrant to enter Theodore Kaczynski's cabin be approved. Merrick Garland was the lead prosecutor on the Unabomber case, and he refused to ask Janet Reno to issue a search warrant on Kaczynski's cabin. But he sure as hell was quick to ask for one against Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And, Diane, how did the FBI handle the situation at Mar-a-Lago? They showed up in force with at least 30 agents, many wearing body armor and carrying rifles. They entered the property, refused to hand the search warrant to President Trump's attorneys, kicked those attorneys out of the building, and ordered them to shut down the security video cameras. The FBI agents remained in the house for better than 9 hours, rummaging about even through Melania Trump's dressing room and clothing, and brought several trucks onto the property in a show of manufactured force and propaganda to make people believe they were carting away at least half the national archives.
Yeah, well, even more importantly, there were specific documents that they were looking for. And I'm going to deal with those documents next week. But these specific documents, they're not going to find them.
Well, you wouldn't think so. No. We're talking here about nondescript documents and supposed nuclear weapon secrets. That's the key, right? Mm-hmm. After President Trump and his team had been fully cooperating with the National Archives as recently as June of this year, they do this. After Trump instructed his team in front of National Archives personnel to give them whatever they wanted, after following National Archives recommendations to double lock the door where the things were being stored, the DOJ and the FBI felt it necessary to do all that and bring in a safe cracker to open Trump's safe, which nothing was stored in? Come on. Hillary Clinton got away with it. Hunter Biden is getting away with it. Dozens of people on terrorist watch lists have come across our southern border with impunity. The Mexican drug cartels are bringing in a steady flow of deadly narcotics with impunity. People arrested after January 6 are still locked up without charges being filed against them. Crime in the streets of some of our biggest cities is completely out of control. Parents are being treated like terrorists, and this is how the DOJ and the FBI treat our former and most likely future president when that former or future president has been fully cooperating with them for over a year? Given all of that and more, Garland has the unmitigated gall to read a statement from the teleprompter calling the public outcry of distrust and outrage over his agency and the FBI handling of Mar-a-Lago unfounded attacks. So, what was on the list of things the National Archives wanted back from President Trump? Diane, you're going to think I'm making this up, but I assure you I am not. On that list were things like dinner menus, a cocktail napkin, and supposedly classified nuclear information. Knowing President Trump's eating habits, that probably means they were looking for a McDonald's receipt, the napkin he used during a late-night working snack, and the setting for the microwave he used to warm up the burger.
Okay. When the bottom line comes, push to shove, Trump did everything he was supposed to do. He kept his word. He turned over everything the National Archives asked for. He has all his ducks in a row. Folks, you and I know very well what this is all about.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. The National Archives have been working with the Trump team and Trump, cooperating with the National Archives for the past 18 months. And then all of a sudden, when it becomes clear that liberals are about to be buried in an avalanche by conservative voters in 90 days, they send in the FBI to raid Mar-a-Lago because they think Trump has classified nuclear secrets stashed in Melania's underwear drawer. After 18 months, they waited a year and a half to go looking for the nuclear codes in Melania Trump's closet. But wait, there's more. Last Thursday, August 11th, MSNBC contributor Michael Beschloss issued a tweet stating, and I quote, "Rosenbergs were convicted for giving U.S. nuclear secrets to Moscow and were executed June 1953, unquote. In a response to that tweet, clearly calling for the execution of President Trump, former National Security Agency Director and former CIA Director Michael Hayden replied stating, quote, "Sounds about right," unquote. Since AG Merrick Garland felt it necessary to read a teleprompter statement calling the outrage over the Mar-a-Lago raid unfounded attacks, did he then issue a statement read from a teleprompter or otherwise condemning an MSNBC propagandist and former NSA and CIA director's desire to execute a former and most likely future president based on what are, given the FBI's track record against Trump, very likely bogus allegations? Of course they didn't. Did Twitter take down the original tweet from Beschloss and or the response from Hayden? Of course they didn't. But don't start thinking of President Trump as the victim in all of this. You're the victim. Every American, regardless of political affiliation, is being victimized by this egregious and one-sided dual system of justice. This is third world banana republic stuff. This is a targeting of conservatives who know that the future of our nation is in their hands at the ballot box. The DOJ and the FBI, and now the IRS, we can't forget them, are coming for those who disagree with the liberal Marxist agenda, and they want you to know it. Diane, they are desperate. They feel their power slipping away. They know what is about to happen this November, and they're terrified of what is likely to happen in 2024 should Donald Trump run for a second term. Their attempt to fundamentally transform America into a destitute nation of victims is dependent upon the government, even for their most basic survival needs, will be dashed if Trump runs and wins in 2024. And they'll do anything, including executing the former and most likely future president, to maintain their hold on power.
You know, these in the Democrat Party, people like Garland and, you know, that whole group, I would not put it past them That raid wasn't to take things out. Yeah, they took a couple of boxes out. They know those boxes are full of nothing burgers. Isn't it possible that their raid was to put things there?
It's very possible.
Yes.
Look, according to the records provided by the DOJ regarding the property receipt from the raid on Mar-a-Lago, FBI agents supposedly collected 4 sets of top secret documents, 3 sets of secret documents, and 3 sets of confidential documents. Given the FBI's track record with Trump, and specifically regarding the Russian collusion hoax and the Steele dossier, are we to automatically believe the raid was on the up and up? Or should we have doubts and suspect manufactured or planted documents? Now we also know that at least 4 boxes on the official property receipt contain documents marked as attorney-client privilege. Now, those would be the private papers between Trump and his attorneys, most likely related to the bogus impeachments, and would therefore be illegal for the FBI to possess or for the DOJ to use in any future attempts to levy charges against President Trump. Other documents seized in the raid at Mar-a-Lago could well contain items under executive privilege, also untouchable legally by either the FBI or the DOJ. But you know how these liberal goons are when it comes to matters concerning President Trump and the rule of law, be damned. Merrick Garland needs to save his self-righteous indignation regarding unfounded attacks for those who believe propaganda. The outrage is real. And both the DOJ and the FBI have earned every last bit of it. The raid on Mar-a-Lago could end up being the invasion that sets off a real insurrection. Only time will tell.
What they did, and what Garland did, and Garland was the one that gave the final order for the go-ahead for the raid, They knew right from the beginning that there's really nothing there. And then making a statement to the effect of, oh yeah, they should be basically, you know, executed like the Rosenthals were.
Ugh.
That's kind of threats. Okay, that's threats against a possibly future sitting president and former president of the United States. How about them investigating those who make those kind of threats?
Well, exactly. But they have a history of not doing that. Okay. Look at Chuck Schumer, what he said about Brett Kavanaugh.
Right.
Okay. Leading somebody to show up outside Brett Kavanaugh's home to kill him.
Right.
Okay. No investigation.
And did nothing about it.
Yeah.
Right.
No investigation. And by the way, it's illegal to protest outside the home of any judge, much less a
right.
Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has been done about that.
Okay? Not a thing.
That's why I say, when it comes to Trump, the rule of law be damned as far as these liberal lunatics are concerned.
But it's not just in regards to them. There are 2 sets of rules here. For them, for us. There's a set of rules for Democrats, a
right.
set of rules for Republicans. The Democrats think of themselves above the law. There's no other way to put it. They consider themselves, they can do anything they want. And nothing's going to happen to them. But if a Republican says something or does something, throw the book at them, throw them away, you know, throw away the key. It's this country has become so lopsided.
It's insanity. It's devolved into insanity. That's why it's third world stuff. It's banana republic stuff.
Absolutely.
You would think this would be going on if you heard about this. with no names attached to it, no country attached to it. If you just heard that a nation's former leader had his house raided by armed government agents,
right?
You would think this was going on in Nicaragua.
Absolutely.
You know, this isn't the type of stuff that happens in Florida.
No.
You know, no. Until now.
Until now. And the thing, well, the first person to come to President Trump's defense was Ron DeSantis.
Right.
While the others were still deciding, what should we do? What should we not do? What should we say, not say? Ron DeSantis came to President Trump's defense.
Well, and you got to appreciate what Kevin McCarthy said. Now, he's probably going to be the Speaker of the House come this coming January.
Okay. Yep.
Kevin McCarthy told Merrick Garland, save your documents and clear your schedule.
Absolutely. That was great.
That's one of the best quotes I've heard in a long time.
Absolutely, it was great.
Now, we're not going to get into this end of it tonight, okay? Because you're going to deal with a lot of this come next Tuesday.
Right.
But there is a lot that has happened between last week and today. In the last 8 days, there has been a nonstop cavalcade of crap flowing from the DOJ and the FBI. Trump's been trying to counter it. We're not going to get into the details of that tonight.
Right.
Okay. But it's all very interesting, and it's all stuff, Diane, you're going to be covering next Tuesday night.
Absolutely. And what makes this more grievous, and you'll hear it next week, folks, Merrick Garland knows he has no leg to stand on. Certain things President Trump is being accused of are well-known facts that cannot happen.
Right.
And that's very serious. You have the Attorney General of the United States doesn't even know the Constitution.
Oh, he knows. He doesn't care. That's
he
the
doesn't
difference.
Care. Right. It's one and the same. He right. doesn't care. This, they are focused on getting Trump, and folks, don't think that a lot of this is not payback for Hillary.
Absolutely it is. It's mm-hmm. payback for a lot of things. It's payback for Trump being right about everything.
Everything. And for our economy soaring under Trump, our military being respected again, American exceptionality, everything that these Democrats hate.
You know, it's obvious, it's transparent, it's despicable. I don't care what term you want to use. Folks, you can get my commentary, The FBI and DOJ, A Crisis of Credibility, either at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place you go, hope you grab the link and share it everywhere you can. Now, keep it, hang on to it, and then pair it up with what Diane has to offer next Tuesday night on this very show. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you're going to start to see a big picture emerge.
A very nasty, very nasty big picture.
Now, I don't know exactly what I'm doing next. We know what you're doing, Diane. We know you're locked into this situation for next
right.
week.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing next week, or I'd plug it.
But well, you have your voting thing in the background.
I do, and that might be where I go. Okay, it's been lurking out there, so that's probably where I'll go next week. But down the road, I can tell you, you probably haven't heard the last from me on this Mar-a-Lago Trump FBI DOJ situation, because I'm telling you, the madder I get, the more snarky I'm going to get. And there is going to come a point when certain things become public where I'm not going to be able to stop myself.
Well, and you know what? This situation is going to be going on for quite some time, because Garland announced that this investigation and what was taken out of Mar-a-Lago is going to take months, at least 3 months to go through.
Oh, how convenient.
Think about that, guys, the timing. Think of the timing.
How convenient.
Be prepared for some big lie to focus around November 1st.
Well, and then, you know, be prepared for it then to take another couple of years so that it winds up being an October surprise in 2024.
Right, so Trump can't run. They'll say he's eligible.
Ineligible.
He cannot run.
Right. Folks, I'll tell you what. Grab Diane's article from thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Grab my commentary from thenationalpatriot.com. Save yourself a double trip. Go to rspradio1.com. They're both there, right there on the homepage. They're both there. You can get the links right there. And share both of those articles everywhere. But with that, Diane, we've run out of time for tonight's show.
Yes, we have. So I'll say nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you again on Friday. Bye-bye.